This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Hi there, and welcome to the Christian War Room here at Seismic Radio at BPN Radio. And today, I think it's an interesting subject, I don't know. Again, we are looking at spreading the word, spreading the good news. Now, let me ask you a question to start off with today. And the question will be, what great things has God done in your life? Let me repeat this. What great things has God done in your life? And if you are a Christian and you've been walking with God, one thing I absolutely guarantee, and that is that God has answered prayers. And sometimes we're just in trouble and we come to God and we pray about a certain issue. And sometimes we get the answer straight away, sometimes we don't. But when you look down your life, and especially the period of times in your lives where you walked with God, you would see a multitude of prayers that have been answered, where you brought a petition, big request, something before God, and he was just giving you the answers there and then. So, first of all, I hear this stuff about, I'm not a diary person, I'm not a journal person or something. I hear these, ideas and concepts of producing little journals and diaries. And it's not a bad idea, I think, even though I'm not doing this. And I have to be careful what I say, because I'm potentially telling you to do something I'm not doing myself, which wouldn't be right. But anyway, I'm just making the point, it's not a bad idea to remind yourself in one form or another. And it could be a diary, or it could just be that you sit down maybe one day and you just reflect upon your life and remember what God has done for you over the years. All those different prayers when your kids were sick or ill, or when you were in trouble, when you didn't know how the future was going to unfold, when you needed a job, when you had car trouble or something like that, or there was just a difficult problem with a person, you felt threatened, you felt in fear of your life. And you prayed, and God answered. And sometimes, and sort of when I look back in my life as well, there are a lot of scenarios where sometimes the answer is supernatural, it's unexplainable. One story I always have to think, I didn't even pray about it, but I was driving when it was frosty, and I was driving, the roads were treated, and I could go along, and it was just like a small side road. And I was driving across a tiny bridge, and the bridge, the treatment didn't work. It was too cold. And so it was all iced up, and I didn't realize. And I sort of remember the car losing control, and I felt two bumps, one to the right, one to the left, which kept the car back on track. I don't know where those bumps come from. I tend to believe it was some angelic intervention or something. I don't know. Yeah, I may be wrong. Maybe something else. It may have just been something on the road. No idea, but it happened. Two little bumps, and I got straight across the bridge without driving, falling over it or driving into the river. Just one example from many, but I'm sure when you sort of reflect upon your life, you can see plenty of these examples. Anyway, one thing is, which I think is very important, And we are making these statements anyway about people's lives, and sometimes maybe about our lives as well, but where we leave memorials of people. And I think I've spoken about this some time ago again, but it always hits me when I've got a few dead people in our family, and the place I grew up in is a Catholic place, so it's a big emphasis on caring for the dead and the graves and stuff like that. It's really, really big within Catholicism, or at least, that part where I come from. So you sort of try to go along a little bit, try not to upset anybody, and you tend your graves and the graves of your, you know, your family. And so every now and then I have to go to the cemetery, which is okay. But what intrigues me is over the years how it has changed, and what people put on their memorials. You know, basically there's a person that's lying there, or the remains of a person. And you make a statement, and the obvious statement is the name of the person that's there, and then the time they were born, the time they died, or the date they were born and the date they died, and you know, okay, right, this is the period of this person, you know, roughly in the lifespan. And then very often there's just one other statement, like rest in peace or something like that. Sometimes a little verse from somewhere, and it's typical cemetery verses, I would call them. And then it's quite interesting. When people died up sort of towards the 80s, there used to be a cross or some sort of Christian symbol on the gravestone. And sort of from the 1990s onwards, and more so even now, people who died recently, there's just nothing there. Yeah, or we... Now religious symbols anymore, but stuff like you will live forever in our hearts and so on. And it's this neo-pagan, agnostic, secularized generation that is coming up and that is said bye-bye to Christianity. I'm not saying that the generation before that they were all pious and good Christians, but they had some concept of God and that it is important to... You know, especially in these extreme circumstances like death, to acknowledge that there is a God. The good thing is, and I would sometimes like to have a peek into heaven to see how many people on their deathbed made peace with God, realizing, you know, my life is culminating and it's coming to an end, and God is still giving them grace to have softened hearts and to... To come up, you know, with a desire to seek repentance and to seek God and to surrender to His will, and I'm convinced that if you were to go into heaven to see, and again the future will show, but will prove me either right or wrong, that there will be many people from the 70s, from the days before, who throughout their lives were just nominal Christians, but when it came down to the crunch, they threw themselves upon the grace of God and sorted themselves out, or allowed God to sort themselves out. The problem I've now got with this generation that is coming up is that this is no longer there. They completely reject and despise and contempt Christianity. They contempt the God of the Christians, and they go into the eternity away from God, straight into hell, straight into torment. And that is really something which is disturbing. And again, what are we going to do? The answer is we need to make statements. We need to raise up people. We need to wake them up. We need to say, look, you know, you need to return to your roots and come back to where your forefathers have been. Right. I don't want to dwell too much on the cemetery stuff. I've seen an interesting thing. And that was pretty much yesterday. And I want to share this with you, and maybe it can inspire you to do something similar, or to pick up on it. I mean, the first thing I saw is, you know, talking about memorials and plastering something on people's gravestones. And again, just one statement. The one thing which really struck me, there was one memorial where you just got like a train, a plane, and a boat. And obviously the guy was a well-traveled person. And that was all that was left on his gravestone. And another one says that he was like the top guy from an orchestra. They put this on there as well, and again you think that's it. Yeah, and other ones you see like little doctor titles and PhDs and stuff like that engraved on the gravestone, which obviously are not much good now, but again they were just statements and witnesses about these people. Now I'm talking about different statements now which we need to make, different types of memorials. Yeah. And yesterday, as I was driving across the motorway, and I'm not quite sure where this is coming from. I wished I could find out who has put it there and shake that person's hand. But again, here in England, Christianity is pretty much frowned upon. It's a very different climate to what it used to be about 30 years ago. And there are a couple of farmers who put big trucks on their field, just trailers, and then on the side of the trailer they put a gospel message on there. I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not sure whether I get it 100% right. The one trailer says, and I saw this yesterday and I thought this is really good, "In the beginning God created, now God demands repentance." That was on one trailer. So another trailers, they've got like Bible messages from John, you know. You must, not sure, I'm not going to recite it because I'm probably going to get it wrong anyway, but it's a strong gospel message, and as people travel to work every day, they have to see this. Whether most of them, surely, they're just going to shake it off and they're not bothered. But some might think about it, and some might take it to heart, especially if the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives. I had to, then a little bit later, I saw a friend, and I saw something which was quite surreal to me. And I have to explain this because this is radio, and picture would probably sort it all out in half a minute or in a few seconds. But what was happening is people could buy a flagstone, you know, just like a little flagstone where you, you know, walk over. And they could put a name on there or a short message. They had a couple of letters they could put on there, and it cost about $100 per person, yeah, if you did this. So the stone was maybe, how many square centimeters? Maybe 20 square centimeters or something. So it's about 10 square inches. Just a tiny flagstone and little message. And so people use them as memorials, or they just put their own name there and, you know, had a little message of some sort or another. And anyway, so you did this all online, you paid your money, and now these stones were, you know, this square they had was plastered with these stones, and people could go and have a look and find their own flagstone, yeah, in amongst all the others. And it looks actually quite pretty. It looks interesting. And now the bizarre thing is people were flogging together, and they were just looking at all the inscriptions on those stones, and they spent ages on there. In the middle, there was a football player, some sort of statue of a football player, some famous guy, I assume, who was just happy about scoring a goal. And then all these people started talking to one another, and it, you know, it was almost like a point of congregating and having a bit of fellowship, but it was all about football. Or soccer, you know, not American football, but English soccer. I haven't got a clue about football. It's not something that interests me or rocks my boat. But what I picked up on is that people were almost like in a church environment. They were very gentle to one another. The common theme was obviously the football club and how it's doing and all the news and stuff like that. And they were just hanging out there. And it seemed to me that that was the most important thing in their lives. In a way, it's really, really sad, but it is maybe something like a substitute of a family, you know, where the family is broken there within the world of football. They've got this commonality, you know, this one focal point to get together, and they're really crazy about it. And when I looked at the square as well, it kind of tied people to the football club. It made them, you know, express their loyalty, and you know, other people who saw that these people had paid for these flagstones, they would, you know, see how big the family is and all the rest of it. Okay, I thought about this, and I thought, why isn't it that we do something similar in the church? Why isn't it that we, you know, get somewhere in a public arena, someplace where we've got access, and maybe, just maybe, we have people sponsoring little flagstones, you know, with a message on them, so that people who walk over them can read them, and it could be what God has done for them, you know, just you know, the wall of gratefulness or the square of gratefulness or something like that, you know, where you just say thanks to God for answering certain prayers or for, you know, doing things in your life. And just, you know, engrave it into stone and plaster a square with that. And so if people are ever having a hard time in their faith or maybe they're looking for faith, they can just walk over it and they can see that Johnny got healed of cancer and Thomas got set free of drugs. Betty couldn't conceive, but now she's with child. She's got a daughter or a son. Bruno got a new job and needed the job as well because more kids were coming, were on the way, you know, and he needed more money to support his family. You know, maybe simple stuff, you know, just that someone who needed to pass an exam and get a certain grade got it because he prayed for it and God enabled him and helped him in his study and in his work, and prayer was answered. Why not? Why not have something like that? Why not have something like that to put up somewhere and to let it be there permanently? Just like a square, maybe in front of the church, maybe somewhere in a public sphere. I know it's sometimes difficult because councils are very, very much opposed to anything to do with Christianity these days. It's probably easier to set up a mosque here in the West than to build a prominent church now. But again, if we've got the right to do this and we've got an area where we can do this, why don't we do this? Why don't we have some flagstones expressing our gratefulness to God of what he has done in our lives? I have to think about one of my friends, her son, goes to a Christian school, and every morning they've got a prayer session, and I was once part of it, and I could watch it. And the kids all get together, they sit on the floor, and they have a bit of a discussion, and they look at all the prayer requests and the stuff they prayed for, and then they've got this big board, and on one side of the board they've got the prayers they still need to pray for, you know, which haven't been answered yet, and prayers that have been answered. And whenever something has been answered, a prayer has been answered, it moves from the left-hand side of the board to the right-hand side of the board. And again, you know, this is a faith builder. This is something where you can see that God really, you know, is in our lives, and he really does great things. And we can trust him. We can entrust him with our lives. He is so concerned about us that he keeps a record of the number of hairs on our head, which I think for keeping up with the number, for some of the male contingency is going to be quite difficult because it's changing at an increasing rate and it seems to be changing downhill rather than uphill. But nevertheless, you know, he keeps a record, and this is probably insignificant in the great scheme of things. He knows everything. He knows all the problems in our bodies. He knows how we work, how we operate. He knows the innermost parts of our hearts and soul, of our spirit. And we need to always bear this in mind, that this is a God who is caring for us, who knows us inside out, and who will answer our prayers as we go to him. And as he's doing this, we should just also make this public. Let people know the great things God has done. Proclaim the great works of God. We've got other guidestones or memorials. One of them is evil ones as well. And there seems to be a lot of it on the evil side, on the bad side. We've got the Georgia guidestones, which are just downright evil. They're propagating either birth control or culling of mankind down to a level of half a billion people. They are very, very strange and very weird. Some sort of substitute New Age kind of philosophy. The get rid of God and let's do it our own philosophy. And they're doing this, you know. Some guys are spending a huge amount of money to do this. And again, why not do the same thing? Why not have something like the Georgia Guidestones? And I'm not saying to copy it, but to sort of go into this direction, to have something like a gospel stone, where we can build up a big stone and get the key message of the gospel engraved in the stone and put it up somewhere. If you've got the vision for that, and if you feel that God is leading you this way. But I'm saying, why are we not doing things like that, where we get the message engraved? There is so much stuff in the Bible which is so important, and why not have it engraved in rock and leave it somewhere? And I mean, we've done it in America, the Ten Commandments, and they are on public spaces, and obviously the liberals, they go all crazy and they want them removed because probably most of the commandments are okay with, but I'm sure with the first couple of commandments, they're not okay with. To love, you know, to have no other gods than God before us. Again, we should, you know, if they take him away from our public buildings, we should stick him, you know, in buildings where we've got control of, and maybe in our churches. What else can we do? I mean, I sort of try to think about, you know, just some practical things of how we can get the gospel. I sort of had to think of one guy, and he did some stuff online, and he had a web page, and he was just selling pixels on his web page. And it was a bit of a fad, but he made a lot of money out of it. And so a lot of advertisers, they bought a bunch of pixels on his web space, and they put like a little icon or, you know, their name on it, and he just became famous for that one thing. I'm not sure whether the webpage is still up today. I should research it before. I just came across it many, many years ago when I was teaching about this area. And I mean, that is something we could do. There used to be something called Padlet, which was an education, supposed to be an educational tool. I used it a few times, but it's a bit dangerous when you do this. So it's a wall you can put up. It's an online wall. It's a page. I think today you have to pay for it, but there are other equivalents as well. So you give people a code, like a long number, and then they can interactively leave messages on this board. And obviously, you could, once you've got this code and once you've got this page, you could integrate it with the web page, or you could take a screenshot and leave it up somewhere permanently. And so you could do something like that online, which is probably fairly cheap and fairly easy to do. We've just got a wall, and you like putting little notes on it. You put virtual notes on it, and you quickly declare, you know, what God has done for you, and answers to prayers which have been given. And again, it should be a church activity. It should be an activity which is done by a lot of people to do this. But why not? I mean, they are doing this. Football clubs are doing it, and others. And surely we can do something similar, just to make a statement to the glory of God and to make it publicly known that there is a God, and there is a God who hears prayer and who answers prayer. So, again, conclusion, what can we do? We can create spaces. We can maybe get together with a couple of people and buy some places. Billboards might be one answer, where we can maybe rent a billboard for some time and maybe just put on a prayer wall, yeah, where prayers have been answered, and where people just, and make it real. Don't just make it up, but make it real. Yeah. Where people, possibly even in their own handwriting, write down what God has done for them, you know, in 2-3 sentences. You could do the digital thing, you know, using something like Padlet. It's padlet.com, I think it was the thing. But I think they're paying now. Have you got time to check it? No, we haven't got time to check it. But it's a paid for service now. But they're free services as well. So if you Google sort of Padlet equivalents or something, you get a lot of other stuff out as well, which just works as well. And you could use them as an online space, and then, you know, use them for your church and stick them somewhere on your website. You know, once the wall is full, just take a screenshot, put it on your website. Obviously, paved spaces as well. Maybe pavings in your entrance area for your church. We just put down, you know, thanks and prayer requests that have been answered. The contents could be a lot of stuff you could stick on there. I've got a list down here. Let me just go through the list. So one of them I already mentioned is answers to prayer. You could, you know, stick strong Bible verses on them. Evangelistic verses, you know, like that there is no other way to God than Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Verses like that, you could stick them on there, that whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved, to cast all his cares on him, for he cares for you. Things like that, you know, encouraging strong Bible verses, which carry a very important message, especially to unbelievers, to really come to God. We should make it visible. We should place it somewhere where it can be seen, you know, even people who may not be related to the church. Another thing as well is, which I'm not sure people ever latch onto it, if, you know, cemetery memorials, why not just put a Bible verse on a memorial? A bit more expensive if you have to put a lot more letters in there, but it's probably the cemetery is the place where people are most receptive for it, because they're faced with the ultimate reality, and that is that sooner or later, you know, whosoever they are carrying into, you know, inside a box into a hole in the ground, sooner or later they themselves will be in that box, you know, being laid to rest in the ground. And what then? What then? And I think a lot of people are really disturbed by the prospect of death, and that justifiably. So I think it's important, you know, when we look at cemeteries, to use cemeteries to not just stick a name and a date on a gravestone, but maybe a message as well, as a warning to other people. And again, personally, I think we should warn people of hell. We must warn people of hell. Also, you know, tell them about heaven. We must tell them that they are evil and that they are wicked, but we must tell them that there's also a way out, and that is repentance. And the key is, you know, the blood shed on the cross of Calvary by our Lord Jesus Christ. And people need to know this. They need to get this message in very simple, rudimentary ways. Ultimately, all we can do is be signposts and point towards God. Once they turn towards God, God will reach out to them. He's reaching out to them anyway, but all he's waiting for is for them to turn around and to be willing to receive him into their lives. We've got a biblical precedent as well in the Old Testament, you know, about Bible verses and so on. We encourage to put them on our door frames, you know, to put little messages on our door frames. The Jews have got like little tassels and verses inside a box, and they stick it to the head and stuff like that. The Orthodox Jews, and I'm not sure whether this is taken a bit to an extreme, but it makes a good point, you know, makes a point of how important it is. And so I think it's something we need to consider and something we should go into. What am I doing? I'm sort of looking at this as well, but this is more a project for a group of you guys to get into. And again, this is a Christian war room. We are just looking at ways to get the message out there, to let people know that Jesus died for them, to encourage people to walk on with their God, to encourage people to seek God when things are going wrong in their lives, and to not go just half the way, but go all the way with our Lord and God. And I think that is very, very important, and we need to encourage others to do the same thing. Okay, we've got about a minute left. Let's pray, Lord. We just pray for inspiration. I pray, Father, for the listeners here in the Christian War Room, Lord, that inspiration will go out and that we will make a statement, and that we will make a statement for your kingdom, for all the great things you have done, for answers and prayers you have provided in our lives. We pray, Lord, for inspiration as well to help us to get the message out. We are called to preach this gospel to the ends of the world, Lord. Literally, you know, as far as time is concerned and as far as geography is concerned. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to do this, especially in the West, as the West is drifting away and falling away, and as people don't want to know about you anymore. We pray, Lord, that you will help us and enable us to be right into their face with the great gospel they have abandoned. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.